accelerated demand program that turns up the marketing and gets you the most money for your home. Either way, your home is sold. Call the Gelmans today at 314-336-1991. Online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Support locally owned small business Bertarelli Paper Company for all of your business PPE needs. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, disinfectant sprays, disposable gloves, toilet paper, and more. Thermoscanners are in stock next week. Pre-order today. They are perfect for offices, gyms, and other high-traffic businesses. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he'll take care of your order and take care of you.
The housing market is about to really take off. Everyone that had to sell still needs to sell. And everyone that wanted to buy still needs to buy. Get pre-approved for your new home in 5 minutes at thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
How much longer till Thursday?
Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be
about
so
9 hours.
Sweet on the sunny side of the street.
3 o'clock. Hey, you're right.
In the shade.
In 9 hours, it'll be will be 13 minutes into Thursday.
Woo-hoo!
Looking forward to it.
Not afraid. This rover.
I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
Oh, so glad you played that. Not a fan of political correctness at all.
Not on this show.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to the probably the most stress-free radio program you can listen to. I think, of course I'm prejudiced, I think it's the best radio show on the air. Certainly in St. Louis, maybe one of the best in the country.
The world.
Okay, the world. A lot of you agree. I can tell by your emails. We welcome you, you loyal AM and the PM people. You have no idea how much we appreciate you. We welcome you to this edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. On this, the 6th of May, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
On Monday, I should have some interesting stories to share with you, and I'll explain why. On Monday, we're going to do the Burke segment. We're going to take your calls. After we check in with John Londoff in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to have Dr. Doug Pernikoff to help you with your pet questions. Here are our phone numbers in case you want to chime in. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. As we get through the first hour, and there's a reason for this, I would like to hear from somebody who wants to call, and you can use a fake name if you want, I don't care, because we don't know whether or not you're using a fake name anyway. I want to hear from anybody who really believes we should all be wearing masks when we go into the hardware store or the grocery store, that we, as healthy people with no symptoms, should be wearing masks everywhere. I'd like to hear from you. Call me. Call this show. And I want, and I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to make fun of you. I just want to hear your reasoning behind why you think we should all be wearing masks everywhere we go.
I believe we should.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Because, and why is that?
Because you can have absolutely no symptoms at all and be a carrier. Not one symptom, not anything. No cough, no fever, anything. And just the spittle or whatever the hell comes out of your mouth.
Where can you actually get one of these medical grade face masks? And I'm not talking about just like, you know, the one that's like you're basically wearing a bandana or a scarf.
Bertarelli paper. I just read the ad for them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
That answers my question.
Well, Dan, I may not need a phone call. I may just address you.
Okay.
I'm going to read you. Thank you, Bill. By the way, a loyal listener. This guy is so AM in the PM. And Bill is in my camp that this is beyond ridiculous at this point. And so Bill sent me a link. This is an article that was published in the American, the Journal of the American Medical Association. This is the AMA. This is pretty credible. Journal of the American Medical Association is pretty credible publication. Three doctors wrote this article. It was also confirmed by the World Health Organization, and I'll read you what I think is the most important part of the article. Here it is. Face masks should be used only by individuals who have symptoms of respiratory infection, coughing, sneezing, fever. That's it. They should be worn by healthcare workers, by people who are taking care of or are in close contact with people who have infections, or by, or anybody directed by a doctor to wear them. But they should not, let me just, this is right out of the article from the Journal of the American Medical Association. Face masks should not be worn by healthy individuals to protect themselves from acquiring respiratory infection. That's exactly what I've been thinking. And so finally, Bill says, here's what you need to back up what you've been saying on the air. And this is from the American Medical Association.
That's not what Dan said.
He said they should not be worn by healthy individuals. Yeah, he said he thinks we should wear face masks when we go out to anywhere.
Read verbatim what you just read over the air. You should not wear masks to protect yourself from getting it. But what Dan said was the other side of that argument, which is, you can be a known carrier and be giving it to other people without knowing.
No. Let me read you the article again. Oh. Face masks should be used only by people who have symptoms.
Well, this is less filling tastes great.
Hold on. You're saying they should be worn by everybody, whether you have symptoms or not, because you might have it and not know it. This article from the AMA says it should be worn by only by individuals who have symptoms, who are coughing, sneezing, have fever. They should not be worn. I'll read it again directly. Should not be worn by healthy individuals to protect themselves. That's not who should wear a mask. That's not me. That's the American Medical Association.
That's one writer. That's one person saying that.
No, it's three doctors who wrote this article and a backup article from the World Health Organization that agreed with them.
And there's numerous doctors and medical authorities that say the complete exact opposite.
Yeah.
This right here is the dilemma. Who do you listen to?
Well, I don't know. The Surgeon General, I read something today about the Surgeon General saying that wearing masks will make things worse for people, which I don't understand why the surgeon or the Surgeon General would say something like that. But that, I think that was an old article. But I
agree. I don't know how I can make anything worse. I mean, by wearing a mask, what are you going to do? Increase your chances of catching something? That's insane. That doesn't make any sense.
But I just think that, first of all, wearing a mask outside helps with allergies. That's for sure.
No, this is not an allergy issue.
No, I know.
Forget it. Forget allergies. Forget that.
No.
This is a COVID-19 issue. But I don't want to wear a mask.
But if you
I don't.
But they have clearly said that people don't experience any symptoms at all.
Okay, you're missing the point, though. The article says you only wear it if you have symptoms.
Yeah.
So you might not have symptoms. And if you don't, this article from the AMA says you shouldn't be wearing a mask. You don't need to wear a mask. And I just realized that what I just did here is a waste of time. Because you're going to pull up something some other doctor said. I'm going to pull this up from the Journal of the American Medical Association. They contradict each other. And I guess it's sort of, you have the right to believe what you want to believe. And my choice is to believe that there's something just wrong here, something going on that's unnecessary, that everybody should be wearing a mask everywhere they go. Yes, I guess if you want to say, well, it's like the helmet issue, but yes, but no. Are you safer with a helmet on a motorcycle? The answer is yes. Does it mean necessarily if you don't wear a helmet, you're going to get your brains laid out on the pavement? No, not necessarily, but you could.
I feel more comfortable if I'm in a grocery store, which I was a couple of days ago. I feel more comfortable when I'm wearing a mask and when I see other people wearing a mask.
And see, I don't.
It just makes me more comfortable.
That's very interesting. I don't. I feel like I'm part of something that I didn't get to vote for, I have no say in, and I get contradicting messages from both sides. And after digesting whatever information I've been able to gather, my own personal decision is whenever I can avoid it, I'm not wearing a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. I think that, you know what?
See, the Centers for Disease...
There's no right or wrong here.
The Centers for Disease Control, and you're counting the American Medical Association. I'm looking at the Centers for Disease Control website. They admit that they have changed their stance on this as issues have progressed. They initially said it wasn't necessary. And as this has spread and as it has changed, I'm looking at their website right now. To be clear, the science around masks themselves hasn't changed. The situation has changed, and as a result, authorities are issuing updated guidelines, which include saying that it now makes sense for all individuals to be wearing a face covering to help prevent their spread of droplets in them that might be infectious, directly from their website.
Right, their spread of droplets that might be infectious.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why. That's the answer.
Let me ask everybody in the room this question, and I'll give you my answer. Oh, sorry about that. I forgot to turn my phone off. Would you be willing to die if somebody said to you, if we can take you out, and by doing that, it'll put an end to all this stuff and people can go back to normal. Would you give up your life for that?
No.
No. No, I'm not giving up my life just so we can, go to Great Clips and get a haircut?
No, it's not just that. It's life back to normal.
No, life isn't that terrible right now. I'm not giving up my life so we can go back to... Well, I mean, what have we lost? And I know for some people that they're out of work and it's terrible, and I'm sorry for those that still haven't been able to get unemployment, but, I mean... The world
I think
is
you and
ending.
I and Tim and Dan really can't relate to what some people have actually lost here.
Nope.
I would not.
I'd say yes. You can take me out. I don't want to be in pain, but if taking me out will put an end to all of this, I'd volunteer to do that. Just don't make it painful. Just give me a shot and let me go. And if by doing that, there's a guarantee, no masks, business is open, the economy comes back, everything's back to normal. Yeah, I'd do that. I'm old. What the heck? How much time do I have left anyway?
And think of the pain and trauma that you would cause your wife and children and grandchildren and friends by doing that.
No, I disagree. Not at this age. I think if I did it at 35 with young kids, that'd be the case. It's a personal opinion and a personal and my own answer to that question. Because when I see these articles, people go, well, how much you don't consider life valuable, that you'd be willing to kill people just so you wouldn't have to wear a mask? No, that's not what this is about. But if you want to put it that way, yeah, I'd give it up so that the rest of the country could have a nice, normal, regular life.
There's a federal prison out in California. It might be a state prison. I think it's a federal prison in which... over half of the inmates have tested positive. Now, think outside the box. Can you imagine if the federal government or somebody in a high place of authority said, "Hey, listen, we want to do this experiment. We want to make you positive and do these experimental vaccines on you. And if they work, or even if you just participate, we'll chop 10 years off your sentence, 15 years off your sentence, for the good of the public, for the good of the whole." Mm-hmm. You think 100% of those guys wouldn't jump on that in a heartbeat?
Of course they would. course they would.
Even if they know it might be fatal to them?
Oh, I think so.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. What about this woman in Dallas? This is the salon owner in Dallas who's in jail for a week because she said, screw it, I need to feed my family. I'm opening my salon. We'll wear masks. I'll have one customer at a time. There'll be distancing. But the law says you can't open. She opened. She was defiant. She refused to apologize to the judge. She did not apologize for what she did. She had a family to feed. They put her in jail for a week. I actually don't know how I feel about that because she was given a warning. She was given a cease and desist. Close this salon. Now, she tore it up. Screw you. She said, I couldn't feed my family. I got stylists that work for me can't feed their families. So the judge, again, this is in Dallas, in Texas, the state where they have let prisoners out of prison because of COVID, but they put her in jail for a week. I don't know. I'm right in the middle on this. She could have stayed out of jail by just complying. On one hand, I think, well, she's an idiot. She should have, they gave her warning and they gave her. And then the other hand, I go, good for you, woman. I don't know.
It's funny because
I don't know.
Both Sam Page and J.B. Pritzker have said in their press conferences in the last couple of days that they are aware of businesses who are violating the stay-at-home orders, but they are asking the local government authorities to enforce it, and basically they're not. They're just saying, don't do this, and if you do, we'll come by and say, don't do this again.
Mm-hmm. This is such a mess. It's a mess in so many ways. It's like, who's in charge? Whose directive do you follow? Who has the authority? We don't even know. This is such new ground we're on here.
We do have full phone lines, but I will say that I knew that something like this would happen because once it got to a certain point, now people are just saying, you know what, screw this, I'm doing it. That lady in Dallas being defiant about everything, and everybody is just saying, you know what.
She's not the only one. She just used as an example. Yeah, she's not the only one. She's just to make an example out of her. Here's what happens. You go to jail for a week. And the attorney general down in Texas has demanded the judge let her out. He goes, this is insane. Putting this woman in jail.
Yeah.
And then there are a couple other congressmen or senators who've chimed in and go, yeah, let her go. Are you kidding me? Yet, she broke the law.
Did she file for any of that?
Yes, and she didn't get the check till Sunday.
Oh.
She was arrested, I think, Friday and put in jail. The check finally came Sunday. And she mentioned that to the judge. She said, you know, Your Honor, I tried to get assistance. I haven't had the check yet. Of course, once they throw in the clink, she's got the money comes in. Now she gets the check.
A former client of mine who has led a troubled life, female, told me recently, actually 2 days ago, that she and another female were arrested in St. Charles County about 3 weeks ago on burglary charges, and when they got to the jail, there was no one in the jail, and they asked both of the girls, they asked the first girl, do you want to go to the men's side or the women's side?
Really?
Because there was no one in jail.
Empty.
It's gone. It was gone.
Wow.
Let them all out.
Wow. I'm going to talk to these people, but I'm going to regret doing this because I shouldn't even have brought this up, and I know that. And folks, let me just tell you, I know better than anybody. And I start getting into territory we probably shouldn't have gotten, because what's going to happen here is this is going to end nowhere. We're not going to reach any conclusion. It's like right versus left, black, white, the left and the right, the Democrats, arguing, debating, and in the end, they're right in the same corner they were to begin with. Let me talk to, I didn't even give the numbers, I don't think, so take a couple of calls and then we'll let it go at that. I just thought it was interesting that this article printed, which was written by three virologists, okay, and it was printed in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it was signed off on, and somebody from the World Health Organization said, oh, we completely agree. Shouldn't wear a mask if you're healthy. That's what prompted it. Thank you, Bill, for sending me the article. Let's go to Brenda. We'll do about three calls, and then we'll jump into the Burke segment. Brenda, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine, and you will not regret my phone call.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, so I worked for an agency that twice a year we had to test all of our employees who were nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, people that go into patients' homes for home care. We had to test them and their N95 masks for leakage. So they had to put off they put on their N95 masks that fitted around their nose and mouth for them.
Right.
And then we put this dome thing over their head and spray this mist in there that tastes sweet and has a certain smell to it. And then we asked them, can you taste sweetness? Do you smell, you know, vanilla? And if they do, then their N95 mask is not fitted properly. So if you have a regular mask and if you spray perfume or peel an orange and you smell that perfume or you smell that orange, guess what? You've got the virus.
Hold on. If you smell it through your mask, you have the virus?
Well, you can consider that you basically could have the virus because
it's penetrating the mask.
Right. It's not good enough.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. So, now I work for a pediatrician, and somebody asked, why don't you have the sick kids, like potential flu patients that are coughing or whatever, wear a mask? And it's because study after study has shown that putting on a regular old mask is not going to prevent anyone from getting sick or giving their illness to somebody else.
No, and I agree. Look, I've worn a bandana into the hardware store a couple of times or wherever. And as I'm wearing it, I'm thinking, this is a joke. This thing is not sealed. It's not really a mask. It's a bandana. But
no,
it makes the people comfortable, and they'll let me in the store.
Yeah, but this guy came in today with his newborn just as I was leaving. He brought his newborn in. He had on a bandana, but it was under his nose.
Yeah, see that? I've seen that, too, where they cover their mouth and the nose. You might as well not even have it.
Yeah, I saw a meme that said if you're going to wear your mask under your nose, you might as well wear a condom and cut off the tip.
That's a great comparison.
That is a good idea.
So put on your mask and peel an orange and see if you can smell it. And if you smell it, well, guess what?
Well, again, then it's not effective. And you may very well. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Brenda. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. And Dan will be next. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great.
I'm good. Amen, Ben. Thank you. Last week I had a doctor's appointment. So prior to going in there, they checked your temperature and then sanitize your hands. So you go in there. They got masks there if you want to wear one. So I put one on. And they took me to the room where, and so while I was in there, I had the mask on my chin. You know, I wasn't wearing it. The nurse come in to take my blood pressure, and I put the mask on, and she said, oh, you don't have to put that mask on if you don't want it on. I said, okay. So then the doctor comes in.
Yeah.
Do it again. And the doctor says the same thing. If you don't want to, don't put the mask on. I said, okay. Well, as long as it's okay with you, I prefer not to wear it. And she said, yeah, that's fine. So, and another thing, they say if you can blow out a candle with that mask on, it is virtually doing no good.
Right.
And so,
Limey mentioned that yesterday.
I think that's where I heard it, I guess.
Yeah.
But, It's to me, I mean, you hear about this lady got shot because they got into an argument over a mask or no mask.
Right.
It just should be up to everybody, and people shouldn't be bullied into wearing a mask. As long as you keep your distance, I think that's okay.
But I don't think it matters what we think, Dan. I don't think it matters anymore what we think. You know, like this woman in Dallas, you do what you're told or you go to jail. And if somebody's in a place and they don't require masks and you're not comfortable there, don't go there. Well, I don't want to go there because they don't require masks. Okay, don't go there.
Well, yeah, and that lady also, got fined $7,000 for every day she was open.
No, that's a different case. This woman in Dallas did not get a fine. She was offered the option of a fine. And the judge said, if you'll apologize for defying the cease and desist and admit that you should, then I will fine you and you won't go to jail. And she said, no, I'm not apologizing. And then she goes, okay. So she went to jail for a week.
That might be a different thing. I could have swore they said that.
No, I don't doubt for a minute that some places there. No, no, I don't doubt that somebody got fined for being open. That probably happened hundreds of times. I appreciate the call, Dan. Thank you.
And one more thing. I sent Bonnie a text yesterday. You were talking about what would happen if the government made all our choices for us and we had to do this. And I shouldn't have.
I don't remember ever saying, what if the government made all our choices for us? I never used those words, I don't think.
Well, you just said in a weird world, the government made choices for us. But in the movie Demolition Man, there's a rant where Dennis Leary, he's on the ground fighting because they're futuristic. Mm-hmm. And everything, they're told what to do and when they can do it and everything else. And I thought that was funny if she could play that Dennis Leary talking about why, what, you know, saying maybe I do want to have a hamburger, maybe I do want cardiovascular disease. It ain't up to you, okay? And that's just funny if you ever seen Demolition Man.
It's a pretty good movie. Yeah,
I've never seen it. I'll have to check it out.
Sylvester Stallone, it's crazy.
Are you a Sylvester Stallone fan?
Well, I mean, I grew up with Rocky, and
you want to meet him? You want to talk? You want to talk to him live right now?
Sure. Did he? Yeah.
He's a good friend. He's a good friend of mine. I have a satellite. We have a satellite hookup at his. Hang on 1 second, Dan. Just give me a second.
Could you check Sly's line, see if he's available?
Hang on 1 second, Dan.
Yeah, he is.
All right. I got good news for you. We got Sly Stallone on the phone right now.
I wonder what he thought about being the cop in that Demolition Man movie.
Well, you can ask him. Sly, welcome back. Good friend of the show, personal friend of mine. Say hello to one of our listeners named Dan.
Yo, hey, thanks. I'm aiming the PM, first of all. I listen all the time on the app. Hey, Dan.
Say hi to Sly Stallone.
Hey, hi, Sly.
How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good. You know, you were great in Rocky.
Yeah, thank you.
You were great in Demolition Man, too. So.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I'm on your show.
Yeah, you go Demolition, you know.
Great conversation.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
I
didn't even give the numbers, and look at this, we got these calls. I'm going to just stop here for a second. I never know how to do this and do it without making anything about me, all right? But I had a conversation with a doctor this morning, and trying to figure out how to do this without it sounding like, give me a second here, I'll figure this out. I have an ongoing issue. I have cancer. I have prostate cancer. I have it. I had it, they got it, came back in another place, and I still have it. But it's not going to kill me. I'm convinced of that. But I'm on the phone with my urologist this morning because I have to have, with regular frequency, these MRIs. And the MRI tells you the state of the cancer. Is it aggressive? Is it growing? Is it just kind of stuck? And, you know, that. So once we discussed all that, I said, well, I have you on the phone. I just want your take on the mask thing. And the short version of what he said very quickly was that it's beyond ridiculous and overblown. And he's a pretty credible guy. He has tremendous credentials. Now, yes, he's a urologist. He's not a microbiologist or a virologist. He's real big in the stem cell world. But he said, I've looked at this from a political angle, a medical angle, and he said, it's absolutely gone too far and unnecessary with this mask thing, the way it's being done and enforced. And so for whatever that's worth, and he would have said to me, if he had said, oh, it's necessary and here's why, I would have listened and I'd have paid attention to him, because I think he's certainly a lot smarter than I do. Let's go back to Mark, I believe, is next. Mark, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Oh, just fine. On the conversation that you guys are doing right now, I believe we need a time frame that needs to be mentioned by the authorities. You know, do we wear the masks or, you know, till the death rate is down? Do we wait until the vaccine? You know, there's no time frame that's given to us, and we just, you know, assume wear it every day, wear it all the time.
Well, we don't assume. In some cases, we have no choice.
Right.
I mean, you can't go into a lot of stores if you don't have one on. They'll turn you away. Sorry, you have a mask. So it's not whether or not we want to. It's.
I just think they should, like I said, throw a time frame out there.
I don't think they can. I actually don't think they can. I don't think they know what that time frame is. We're still not far enough into this yet. So right. they're being overly cautious.
Yeah, and that's why people are so relaxed about it. I mean, I prefer not to wear one. But, you know, with my wife being, you know, that she would catch stuff easily. But I work. I'm not one of these ones that's laid off. You know, so I'm out in it.
Tell us about it. Yeah. We're putting in 12 hours a week.
Yeah.
Man.
So, yeah, I think that would help to wear. If we could see the end, it would possibly help with some people, and we wouldn't have, you know, the 50-50 on wearing and not wearing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, maybe soon we'll be able to say, or somebody will be able to say, okay, here are the numbers, and take your masks off. Back to life as normal. We all hope that. Thank you, Mark.
2025.
Thank you, Mark.
I just want to also say AM and the PM.
Thank you. It's good. Never hear that too much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to Brian. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. AM and the PM. Thank you. Hallelujah. Regardless of which side you stand on, what I'm really tired of is the hypocrisy, though, because did you see, like, when Chris Cuomo was in his basement, you know, fighting the virus, then it came out later that a guy had an argument with him in the Hamptons when he and his family were outdoors without a mask on.
Oh, he's a hypocrite. He's a major hypocrite.
Yeah. Then you had the mayor of Chicago. She's getting her hair done the same day she's out giving speeches about, you better stay home, we're going to arrest people. And then she said, well, I need my hair done because I'm on TV.
Do as I do, not as I say. We're exceptions. We're the exceptions. Yeah, you do one thing, but we're going to do something else.
I'm pointing out the obvious. So in all these press conferences with the politicians telling us to wear masks, well, they're not wearing masks in their press conferences, you know. And so my biggest issue is I don't know who to believe anymore. And
no, that is the single biggest problem right now is who do we believe? That's it. That's, to me, is the number one issue. Who's right? Who's wrong? Where are these facts all coming from? Where are these numbers coming from? Brian, thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot. See you, bye.
We'll do one more on this. That'll be Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm AM and FM, as always.
Thank you, as always.
Hey, Frank, I got two things. I need to ask Rocky a question, but my serious question that I got to ask is, what is the big difference between this epidemic and when the AIDS virus broke out way back when, and they didn't shut the country down for that?
Well, the big difference is you couldn't catch AIDS from sneezing on somebody. There's a huge difference in AIDS and, you know, coronavirus, COVID-19. You can't get AIDS. There's no need to wear a mask to not get AIDS, because you're not going to get AIDS if somebody sneezes on you. It's a sexually transmitted or through blood transfusion. There's a huge difference.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's what I was thinking. Somebody asked me that today, and I somewhat told them the same thing, and I said, you know what? I'm going to ask Frank.
I don't know everything, but that's my opinion on that. Is they're two completely different things transmitted different ways. Totally.
Yeah, and that's what I told him. And I'm sick and tired of this crap, too. I think it's time to open everything up and let's go.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
All right. Hey, wait a minute. I got one question I need to ask Stallone.
You need to ask who?
Stallone.
Stallone? Stallone.
Hang on. I can see if he's still on. Hold on. Do we still have Sly on the satellite link? We do? Yeah, he's still here. Sly Stallone, say hello to longtime loyal listener Dan.
Yo, hey, a longtime loyal listener Dan. How you doing?
I love your movie, Stallone. I got one question for you.
Yes, sir.
When you were getting it on with Bridget Nielsen, what was it like with you being a little short man and her being tall? Was it difficult for both of you guys in the bedroom?
It wasn't bad at all. You know, I had to go up on her. But other than that, everything was fine, you know. I just said, yo, hey, what's going on there? But, yeah, it was great.
No Adrian involved there, was there?
No, nothing at all. No.
There you go. There's your answer.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for taking my call. Enjoyed the show. Love it.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And a big thank you. Sly, always, as always, thank you for being a friend of the show. We appreciate it.
Anytime, you know.
Okay, Sly Stallone, the great Sylvester Stallone. Wow. Always there for us. And now the Burke segment. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do. Oh, I do.
I believe Tim spoke first. Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Welcome.
I just want to say with great sadness that I have been informed that the 13th annual World Naked Bike Ride in St. Louis has been postponed.
Don't say this. No.
The show's been a long proponent of the World Naked Bike Ride, but it was supposed to be in St. Louis in July. They postponed it. They're going to have it next time. But here's the good news. Here is the good news. Instead of having the World Naked Bike Ride, which is a 12.8-mile ride in which participants are encouraged to not wear clothes during this bike ride, male and female alike, to keep the spirit of the World Naked Bike Ride alive, the WNBR, that's their initials, will be doing a series of fun weekly activities on its social media platforms in which the riders can participate on their own time with just your bike, that beautiful engine that is your body, a helmet, and a mask, of course.
Is this something that bikers in St. Louis do every year, too?
Let me ask a question.
How is that okay when if you walk down the street totally nude, you'll get arrested?
Because
what
I
happens
don't think any
here?
Of them are actually ever fully, completely nude. Like they have pasties.
A lot of them are.
I think some of them are.
Yeah. Spray painted. There's pasties, or they have spray painted things on their breasts. And
like
you know,
the delicate areas
ways
are
to hide
covered
it.
So
up
even though it's called a naked bike ride, you cannot ride naked.
I think you can. I think you can too.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you're on a if you're a guy on a seat, I mean, on a triangular bicycle seat, what can you really see? A little crack? I mean, whatever. Yeah. You know, and the women, you know, same thing. You know, you're on a bike, you're not really going to see. You know,
you'll see the boobs,
the golden triangle. And if those are somehow masked or obscured in a certain way, you can get away with it.
Yeah, you don't see the honey pot.
No,
you ride 12 miles like that.
Yeah,
you're gonna get a little
sweaty. Gonna be a little nasty and sweaty.
You know, bicycle seats are among like the most uncomfortable things in the world. They just are.
I know.
And I don't know how anybody rides any distance, especially with no clothes on. Wow. Good luck with that.
But people riding their bike and recording themselves and then uploading those videos is where they can all still share the naked bike riding experience with the hundreds of others that they would have shared that with this July.
So if you're naked in large numbers, you can break the law and just go naked out in public in front of everybody and anybody, yet if you do it and you're one person, you get arrested? How's that work?
Can you have a hockey parade in which underage players are drinking beer walking down the street on live TV? I mean, there's some things that get enforced and some things that we'll look the other way.
Okay. Now that's probably the best way to put it.
Yep.
They do look the other way. Any who else? Burke segment. Anybody?
I do.
Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
Being locked in or whatever, or quarantined, you get to watch a lot of TV. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Now, there's something I hadn't thought of.
Oh, yeah. Watch TV.
I have to try that.
On just the regular channels, the local channels here, some of these local commercials have gotten like to the point where it's like you want to pick your TV up and throw it out the window.
You're embarrassed for them.
Oh my God, they are so bad.
Give me an example. Give me an example.
An example?
Mm-hmm.
The one that Pat Maroon's in.
Okay.
Pat Maroon is doing it's a commercial about a car place that fixes your car.
Okay.
It is god awful.
How bad?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, he's skating around on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
He's skating around on the ice. They use every cliche known to man.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
They'll put everything. They'll put your car in the penalty box. They will take your. They will put your car on ice. They'll do that.
Your goal should be a perfect running engine. Yeah, I know. I deal with baseball all the time. So not getting to first base with your car dealer. Well, it's time you hit a home run. I know exactly. I hate that.
And he says they'll work on almost any car, and then the Zamboni behind him honks, and he turns around and goes, I said almost any. It's like, oh my God.
Well, that's hilarious.
Oh. And then there's other commercials where they want to use their kids. And first of all, there's one. I just want to leap through the TV and just beat the crap out of the entire family.
Because they think their kids are cute on TV, and their relatives go, saw the kids on TV. Yet what they don't understand is the rest of us are watching thinking, your kids are horrible on TV.
I will never go to any of these places because of the. And here's what you get with this one commercial.
So what you get is, you call my dad, and it's
like everything's way off in the distance.
Yeah.
And the kids are going, and you call my dad, and it's a dinner, and I'm Devon. That's right.
Yeah, they're way off, Mike. It's done with a cell phone or something. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then there's other ones too where they think they're duping people and fooling people into thinking they're part of a newscast.
Oh, I love that.
It's like they're
this kidding. Just in. Savings like never before.
Yes.
From breaking news from the world of car service.
And they're talking to someone like they're doing an interview or something like that. And then there was a bank one last night. It was they were sitting at a table, and this guy says something to this other guy, and it was just like, no, you just want to leap through the TV and just say, what is wrong with you?
But somebody approves.
I know. That's what I said. I looked at Sandy. I said, somebody approves this stuff. How does this get on?
Frank, you worked in that agency, and I've done a lot of ad work as well. It's because these people come to their clients with these ideas, and they're afraid to tell them no.
Yeah.
And it's the client that comes with the idea.
Because
there's no way a reasonable, seasoned advertising executive would say,
no, you're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Oh, and let
me tell you a really quick story. There was a Chevy dealer years ago. He's not been around for a long time. I'm maybe going to give the location. It's not important, but the dealership had his name on it. So for whatever reason, back when I was in the ad agency world, he wanted to meet with me. He thought I had some good ideas. So I meet with this guy, and in our first meeting, he gives me a VHS of his TV commercials to go take home and watch. So I watched them. And I met with him again. He said, what do you think? I said, they're awful. They're horrible. I said, why do you insist on being in your own commercials? You're terrible. Why do you have to be in your own commercials? You know what he said to me? Here's exactly what he said to me. He said, because when I go down to, and he named the bar, which was two blocks away. He was a major alcoholic. He said, when I go in, people come up to me, and they slap me on the back, and they buy me a drink, and they go, hey, man, I saw you on TV. And I said, that's your reason for doing those horrible commercials? He said, yeah, I like that. And I said, well, I can't help you, and I can't work for you. Because my job is to do something that will generate sales of vehicles, not get people to come in the bar and pat you on the back and go, hey, I saw you on TV. That's my job.
Yeah, and stroke your ego.
And he just admitted it. And we didn't work together because I don't know. He didn't need me. You just get the camera crew and roll it and put yourself on TV. The other thing a lot of car dealers like is is, and I don't know that this is a bad thing, because sports is a big deal. Any association with a sports figure that they can tie into, I guess I get that, because there are a lot of people that love sports. And if you can attach any business or service to a sports celebrity, there must be something to that, because a lot of people love to do that. Yeah. Bogdoff does it. He did it with Maroon. He's done
I know.
It with
he did it with Maroon. And
it must
and
work or he wouldn't
Groovy
do it.
Groovy and a couple other people. But I love Pat Maroon. I think
I think a lot of people do, but you can love him and still admit that he's in a horrible commercial.
At least Maroon's commercials with Londoff were funny, because he was body checking salesmen into their glass partitions and stuff, you know, and was doing things that were funny. That's just ridiculous.
This one is. Have you not seen this?
I haven't.
Oh my God, it's on all the time. And it is just so bad.
But when you talk about trying to use verbiage that's related to the, for example, if they'll say, "Hey, you tired of striking out every time you go into whatever," well, then you need to. It's time you hit the home run you deserve. Not just get and don't let them just don't let them just hit you with a pitch that sounds good. And they go on and on, every cliche,
and that's what this one is. It's at least 4, 5, maybe 6 of those hockey cliches that it's like, put your thing on ice and you'll score a hat trick or something like, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, so,
please. If
we can criticize that unless they do it on radio. If they do it on radio, we're fine with it. They're spending money on radio, so we don't care.
I know
how bad it is.
I'm saying, please, if you want your business to thrive, contact frankopinion@yahoo.com and let us do the commercials for you.
but then the problem with that is, and to Tim's point about this not being the idea of some advertising creative person, this is all about ego stroking. And, you know, when the CEO of some company, for anybody who ever wonders why the spokesperson for, pick a nationally known product, why do they have Jennifer Aniston as their spokesperson? Well, here's why a lot of times. Because the guy who is the CEO loves Jennifer Aniston. So he convinces everybody this should be so that he can meet her and have lunch with her, and they have meetings. I'm not kidding. If people think I'm not. That happens all the time. They're in a position through hiring this personality to do this thing to hang out with them. And that plays a role sometimes too. People forget that the whole point is supposed. My job, when I talk about any advertiser, is to get the listeners to give them a shot at their business. That's it. That's the goal. Not to make them look like they hang out with celebrities or that. No. It's go try this product. Give it a shot. Give them a chance. Include them when you shop. That's the goal. Anybody else? Burks Limey, you got anything?
Nope. I got nothing.
No? Okay. I guess we can shut it down. I did a rough calculation over the last 2 months how much time I've spent playing PlayStation 2 Black. It comes out to, give or take 20 hours, about 150 to 170 hours of Black that I've played the last 2 months. Yeah. So I read this morning where Fortnite, and I've never played Fortnite. That's a young person's game,
goodness.
For the most.
It's huge.
Well, here's how huge it is. The number of registered players for Fortnite who are playing online is bigger than the entire population of the United States.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
350 million people play Fortnite.
I believe that.
That is that's incredible.
Yeah.
And I've never played it. I don't even know what it is. I don't think I could play it. I don't think I would understand it.
I do. It's amazing to watch people play it.
But can you play it by yourself and not get online and play? Can you play Fortnite just
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll take a look at it. Wow, that was a quick hour. Thank you, folks, for making that hour go so quickly. We come back after the news. We'll check in with John Londoff and then Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Hopefully he will be in the studio, I hope. And he's the go-to guy if you have a pet and you have a question or you're thinking about getting a pet. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
We're all changing things up to stay healthy. We're here 24-7.
590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. Rather than phase out the White House Coronavirus Task Force, President Trump is adding two or three members to it.
But we'll be adding some people to the task force, and there'll be more in the neighborhood probably of opening our country up, because our country has to get open again.